The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Bonjour, madame.
Bonjour.
Bienvenue le final hooter.
Aha, yeah, le final hooter.
Talking rugby league on the final hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General Hospital for Warrington. I can't do it.
Adrian.
I can't do it.
No, Adrian.
No, I can't do
Adrian
it.
Jackson and David Parkinson. Yeah.
All right, we're not great at French accents. We need us Richie Marler. Have a listen to this.
I started off with Widnes Vikings from 11 to 16. Signed professional contract with Widnes from 16. I played a few games for them. Then I moved to Salford. Fortunate to play in a successful team for 2 years. Regained promotion to Super League. Then I played for Warrington Wolves for 6 seasons and had some real success. 2 Challenge Cups, a couple of Grand Final.
Impressive.
It's getting there.
And now I'm here with Catalan Dragons.
Welcome to Catalan Dragons, Richie.
That's class, that, isn't it? If you want to introduce yourself to French Rugby League, put on a bit of a French accent, eh?
Well, we're stuffed to be sending us back home on the plane.
Nah, I reckon they'll be welcoming us with open arms. I reckon that we could get in at Carcassonne, no problem.
By saying Bévian, Madami.
Well, I don't know what you were trying to say, but I'm sure my bit was going okay.
Anyway, enough of all that. We're back talking rugby league. I know you were here 2 weeks ago. I've been in a pre-season training, man.
Yeah.
I've been doing warm weather training.
Tell me about this, because you know you've got Castleford who have decided to go over to Lanzarote. Warrington's just back from the warmer climes.
Leeds in the USA.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess where I went?
You didn't go following Wigan, did you?
Where did they go? Didn't see Wigan.
They went to Wales.
Didn't see them in the Isle of Man.
Oh, you went to the Isle of Man?
I did, yeah.
That was warm weather training for you, was it?
It was wet.
Yeah.
And windy. See, I was thinking, what's the point in going to Tenerife? What's the point in going to USA? Whenever you kick the first rounds of Super League off, it's always wet and windy.
You've got a good point.
Where did you go?
I went to Haydock Park.
Oh, wow.
Where the going was wet. Just very wet.
Thing is, though, it's flat. It's a flat course at Haydock. What's the point in going there when you do half your games at Batley?
Well, that's true, yeah. I mean, the first championship game of the season that I'll be doing will be over there at Mount Pleasant. So, yeah, it's a bit of an uphill struggle there at the best of times.
You better get on the hills and dunes of Southport with Ray French.
Yes, definitely. Or Crosby. Yeah,
that's Crosby a place
Beach.
To be, man.
It is, yeah. I know you've been there.
It's a brand new season. Everyone's getting ready and raring to go. Well, the pre-season training's done and dusted. Well, it is for me and you. 1-2 teams are still away, aren't they?
Hang on. We've got to get the pints down. What do you mean? Pints?
Pints.
The pre-season training is never done with me and you.
See, the thing is, I went to Wembley. Not dropping name, dropping locations there. for the first round of the Challenge Cup, but there's not a pie in sight. It was just posh sandwiches.
Hang on, your Sharabang let you down last year. What do you mean you ended up at Wembley? Is this because did you finally get there after trying to get to the Challenge Cup last year?
On the train.
Ah.
Went on the train this year.
See, there you go. You planned it. To perfection.
I did. Didn't make the Challenge Cup final because of transport problems. Didn't even make the test game in London because of transport problems. So decided the train.
I heard they were to kind of send search parties out for you when it came to that first second test over in London.
Yeah. Well, they found me eventually.
They did.
Got there for the first
round. Well, he's definitely
round.
Here anyway, folks. I can vouch for that one.
First round draw of the Challenge Cup. The amateurs were there, by the way. So we'll give you a rundown of the actual draw. But why was there caught up with Lizzie Jones, who chats about being back at Wembley and her continued charity work and also her family's continued support for the mighty Keith Lee Cougars. And we'll hear from Tom Briscoe, who also, he relived that big day and he's quite relieved not to have dropped any balls on the floor while doing the draw.
Well, yeah, you don't want to knock on when you're doing a Challenge Cup draw, do you?
And I thought I'd get all the big man, general manager of Super League, Blake Solly, as we reflected on last season and looks ahead to a more successful year this year.
Did he sound pretty chipper? Because he is quite a chipper guy, isn't he?
He is. He's quite a pretty cool dude for a manager, isn't he?
Well, I don't know, because I've only spoke to him once. You know, you've obviously got this thing going on now.
Mm. But anyway, I was disappointed there was no pies, so the pie warm-up will have to be done at maybe Warrington.
Did they have Volivants?
Or Wigan.
Because it was Wembley.
No, it's just posh sandwiches.
Posh sandwiches.
And so, some nice tasty tomato soup.
So to a lad from Lee, what constitutes a posh sandwich?
Tuna.
Actually, yeah, that's about as
exotic. No, they had salmon. They had salmon.
That's exotic as it gets in Lee, actually. I've got to admit.
What, tuna?
Yeah, yeah.
No, we had salmon.
Salmon?
You'd have enjoyed the bacon ones then.
Oh. They had bacon as well?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
We chicken them.
Stop it. Stop it.
Right, I'm moving away from food.
I know you've got me slathering here.
Let's talk rugby league, shall we? Paul March is also on here talking about the Keefe's big win in the pre-season over Oldham. But before we hear from Paul March, let's get the rest of the results from the pre-season friends that took place last weekend.
Okay, well, Wakefield had it all to do against Featherstone. They ended up beating them 22 points to 18, but Featherstone actually held sway in that game for over an hour and, you know, gave a really good account of themselves. Another side which did really well, we had him in before Christmas, but Alan Kilshaw's first game in charge of Rochdale, blimey, he didn't half shake Salford to the foundations, but once they changed the halfbacks around, they ended up winning by 44 points to 16. Everyone's been interested to see how Sheffield would go on as a full-time club.
I am.
And their first test was against Dewsbury, and they beat them 38-14 at the Ram Stadium. So I think that's a great result, though. A youthful Widnes side ended up having too much in the tank for Newcastle, beating them 34 points to 8, whilst Catalan's Dragons took on the Chevalier Carters.
I'm glad you said that.
And won 46 points to
0. You've been practising your French, haven't
I
you?
I was, yes. And then...
See, as I said, they were Aldi 13 Chevaliers.
That sounds like something that you'd actually go and buy in Aldi. What are you on about? All the supermarkets are available, by the way. Yeah. And finally, in the big pre-season derby, Hunslet 18, Leeds 22. Again, a fairly youthful Leeds lineup, but there was seven players that played in the grand final win that took the field against Hunslet and just got on the end of a good result.
Let's hear from a very happy Yorkshire-speaking Paul March.
So, Paul, how good is it to get pre-season underway with a victory?
Yeah, it was important. I thought we played well defensively. You know, I thought contact were good early on. You know, we went away from it and we fixed it up at half time. And you know, we didn't allow them to play. The conditions, obviously, you know, it was a muddy field, and you know, it was going to be a battle of the fittest in the middle. And you know, I thought we looked very fit as well, you know, and that's credit to Adam Mitchell and the conditioning staff to, you know, getting the players in that shape. I think, you know, we're at this stage of the season, I think both teams will be happy with that run out, you know, because yes, it wasn't the most spectacular game, you know, but we lads have been working towards it, and it were good just to get out there and you know, get a few minutes under his belts.
In the second half, 92% completion rate, must be very happy with that.
Yeah, obviously, if you're completing at a high standard, 92%, you know, the other side's doing a lot more defending, and I think that's what took its toll on them. You know, I think we played a few good players, went back against their line and scored a couple of good tries. So, you know, like I said, 92% completion, you can't grumble at that, and if we can stay like that all the time, you know, I'll be an happy coach.
Obviously, six debuts today, seven if you count Brookie's second debut. How do you think all the new lads went?
I thought we were tremendous. You know, like I said, it wasn't the tremendous game everybody were after. You know, it was a dogfight. But I thought all new signings come in, you know, and every one of them had little glimpses today. You know, we're going to probably talk about Charlie Martin. He got man at match today, and I thought it gives me another option at centre if I need him. You know, he's a back rower, he played centre today, run a nice line for his first try, and defensively looked very strong, so you know, I'll pick him out today. But obviously the other new signings, they all had a, you know, a good touches in it here and there.
Tell you what, Joshua Chapman, who's asking the questions, knows his stuff. Percentages in a friendly, 92%.
Hey, you've got to get him on the board.
Wow, thanks, you know, for them stats, Joshua. Even you were envious with them.
I was, and I'm always big on stats. Just to sort of cut in here as well, Charlie Martin, by the way, I'm delighted to hear that he's doing well for Keighley, and he's done really well on his debut there. But interesting to note, they've also brought in Richie Hawkyard as well, who spent so much time over at Swinton. He scored a try after 75 minutes. The other try for the Cougars was scored by Hamish Barnes, the young centre. There were two tries for Oldham, both of which were scored by Adam Clay, their top scorer from last season. But I tell you what, it shows that there's a lot of work for Oldham in particular to do in the next few weeks to get them up to
playing
Championship.
Catch up, aren't they? Because they've only just found out where they're actually playing.
Well, that's true.
To start, and now they can get the players down there and get used to the surroundings. So they're playing catch up with the rest of the clubs.
I mean, they've got some reasonable players there who I think will go particularly well in the Championship. I know quite a bit of Adam Clay because he played at Lee and Salford earlier in his career. Jack Holmes did likewise. They've got John Ford in there who at Championship 1 level as a centre, he's been deadly over the last couple of years. He scored like 30-40 tries in probably an equivalent number of games. And they've also brought in a little bit more Championship experience in the likes of Jack Spencer, who was at Halifax for the last season and a half, and also Craig Briscoe, who's spent a bit of time with Lee earlier on in his days. But I think looking at that, obviously March is much the happier coach, and there's a lot for the Cougars to build on, and a lot of hopes, I think, ahead of the new season.
Speaking of the Cougars, let's stay with the Keithley Cougars theme, shall we, as I caught up with Lizzie Jones, who was happy to be back at Wembley after the Champs Cup first round draw. Joined by Lizzie Jones, who's just joined the bars in the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup first round. Welcome back to Wembley, Lizzie.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
The rugby family really gathered round you and really supported you when you needed that support.
Yeah, they did massively. It definitely wouldn't have come from any other sport. They are the one in a million, they really are. And like I said, I walked out to a family at Wembley, and that's how I did it.
The song you sang, Abide With Me, you had many men crying in the stands.
Oh, yeah, apparently so. It's an emotional song anyway. It's an emotional part of the Challenge Cup final anyway, but yeah, it had a deeper meaning, and hopefully I managed to get a message out to fans and things, and people further than rugby, to look after themselves and, you know, keep Danny's memory alive.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? And then it's good to see that momentum still moving on into 2016 as well.
Yeah, massively. I want to keep it going and keep the charity work going. And now the screening's been passed within the rugby league at all levels, which is fantastic. We want to get defibs wherever we can, so you're sick of the sight of them, and help with training, working alongside Heartbeat of Sport, to get people aware of what to do in these awful circumstances.
I was going to say, it's pretty nerve-wracking to go out onto any rugby league field and sing in front of rugby league fans live. What's it like nervously doing the draw today?
Do you know, I was really looking forward to this weekend because I wasn't singing, but when we got here, it's different, so it's nerve-wracking in a different way. I'm probably less nervous singing, to be honest.
I mean, we obviously saw you on TV during the Sports Personality Night as well. How much of a good experience was that?
Oh, it was incredible, incredible. Very different again, but I felt so privileged to be singing up on that stage and with Kev there and the Leeds Rhinos. It was just fantastic evening for the rugby league, it really was, and I felt like we represented them really well and we had a fantastic night as a rugby league family.
Now we know you're a Keithley fan. What a day would that be for Keithley if they made it here in August?
Oh wow, yeah, it'd be incredible, and we'd be here, me and the twins, supporting them. And we will do for the rest of this season as well. You know, we've got season tickets and Phoebe and Bobby have sponsored a player, and we're going to be there to support the team that was there for us more than anyone else. Yeah,
great to see Lizzie Jones still supporting Keithley Cougars, and they're also doing plenty of charity work as well for the Heartbeat of Sport.
Yeah, Heartbeat of Sport was something that came about and was actually launched in mid to late December, wasn't it? And Lizzie is a patron of that, and you can get further information regarding that if you log onto the internet. I think if you put Heartbeat of Sport into one of your local search engines.
.org, isn't it?
It's a .org address, okay. So you'll be able to find it anyway.
All the W's, as we all know.
All the W's.
And I know I said tongue in cheek, it'd be great to see Keithley there in the final at Wembley, and like, she just went along with it, I think. But they did get to the quarter final a few years ago.
They did. They played at Widnes, didn't they? Yeah. And gave a pretty good account of themselves, despite actually naming, I think, the reserve team, if I remember rightly, because they got two or three games, which were in a very short space of time. And unfortunately, it backfired against the Cougars quite spectacularly because they ended up getting beat by 50 points. But
on a Monday night as well.
To be fair, I thought they did put in a good shift, those players, probably most of which are now not at Keithley, by the way. But, you know, I'm quite happy looking at that Keighley side. They were my favourite side last season, other than Meath.
I think they were everybody's, weren't they?
I really wanted them to get promoted. I know when we sat there on the Championship finals day, didn't we? And you were back in Swinton because of the John Duffy Widnes connection.
Yeah.
And I was firmly a Yorkshire man for the day, which is so, so unusual, to be honest, because, you know, I live and breathe the Red Rose. But, great to hear that Lizzie and the Twins still firmly involved there at the Cougars.
Although under the new format of the Challenge Cup, it's going to be more difficult for the likes of Keighley to even get to the quarterfinals, never mind the final.
Definitely, yeah. I think we're in for that type of format once again. I didn't read anything that was changing at all with
the
Cup.
Same as, isn't it?
So yeah, I think if you get to the quarterfinals, you've already won the trophy, haven't you, if you're a lower division club?
Right, the road to Wembley begins at the end of January. The draw took place last week at Wembley, in the dressing rooms, by the way.
Wow, dressing rooms?
Leeds celebrates that famous victory, or that thrashing against Hawkinson Rovers, and it's the amateurs who were all in there. We had the amateurs, the best of amateur rugby league in Britain, lining up in the, it's not like a bag, it's like a cauldron, isn't it?
Right, okay.
Like a big bowl. Is that
did they give it a good stir before?
They did, obviously, yeah. They got the wooden spoon out.
Yeah, yeah.
Not. So the Royal Navy are in there, the Royal Air Force, you get the idea. British police are in there as well. I do apologise, I've got a croggy throat. But anyway, here is the draw. It's London Chargers take on Shawcross. Fatawee versus Huntslet Club Parkside. Aberdeen Warriors flying the flag for Scotland, taking on Northumbria University. Stanningley take on Pilkington Rex. Normanton Knights take on Distington. Didn't say that right. The
you
Army
did.
Versus
Distington.
Yeah. West Bowling versus Loch Lane. Lee Mines versus Underbank Rangers. East Leeds take on Oldham Raiders. Millwall take on the University of Hull. Royal Navy are at home to Featherstone Lions. Widnes West Bank take on Rochdale Mayfield. Wharf Brow Hornets take on the Air Force. Hull Dockers versus Fallen Hill Trojans. Egremont Rangers versus Blue Bulls. West Hull versus the British Police. Kells versus Nottingham Outlaws. And York Acorn take on Charleston Rovers.
Oh, I tell you what, that last one's a tasty one, by the way, Adrian. Just to confirm that York Acorn and Normanton, they actually fought out the promotion to the Premier Division in the National Conference League at the end of last season
and
on
who
finals
won that?
Day. York Acorn won it. But
oh,
what a
Charleston then will be wanting revenge then, won't they?
Oh, is it Charleston?
Yeah.
I've got that wrong. So there we go.
Listen, we're still in pre-season.
First mistake.
We can get away with it, honestly.
First mistake.
We'll edit that bit out.
They played Normanton in that final, by the way. I'm going to keep digging because I'll get there eventually. Two ties which certainly capture the imagination there. Widnes West Bank against Rochdale Mayfield. Rochdale Mayfield did it extraordinarily well last year. They're coached by the former Halifax man, Mark Halland. They're certainly a side that likes to throw the ball about.
Probably still playing, isn't he?
He is, yeah, he did. He played really well at the end of last season, to be honest. And Widnes West Bank, we know that they can play a bit. Interesting to note as well, did you mention the South London Chargers?
Yes.
They played against Widnes last year, didn't they, Widnes West Bank?
They're called London Chargers now.
Oh, are
South,
they?
Yeah.
Because they
name
right,
change.
Name change. But great to see them back involved in the competition. And of course, Lee Miners, who did so well in the Challenge Cup last year, looking to get that underway against Underbank, which, you know, they're from Huddersfield. I'm sure they'll be keen to bring a shock. They had quite a few Australians playing from last season, so I'll be interested to see their lineup a little bit later on this month.
Yeah, the challenge for them guys is to get through the early rounds and take on the pros, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, you know, Lee Miners certainly enjoyed themselves last year. They managed to beat Oxford on the way through to the fifth round. They were eventually knocked out by York City Knights, who played a tremendous brand of rugby in the first half and really took the game away from Lee Miners. But I know that the Miners club feel that they've got some unfinished business in the cup.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Still talking rugby league on this Final Hooter. Have we got our gremlins out the way? Are we fully smooth now? No mistakes?
I think so. So apologies there to Normanton. I think I put you in the Challenge Cup there.
See, the thing is, I very nearly called Nottingham Outlaws Normanton Outlaws.
Well, we only, to be fair, we only did what We only did what Dave Woods did, didn't we? Because, I mean, who was it who got mentioned twice? Was it East Leeds? Ended up getting drawn twice.
Yeah, twice. Confusion everywhere.
There was confusion everywhere. And it wasn't a problem with Tom Briscoe at all, was it?
Not at all. He held his nerve and I caught up with him right after that draw. Tom Briscoe, welcome back to Wembley. And good memories for you last year, wasn't it?
Definitely was, yes. And we're standing in the room where we came back and celebrated. So even more great memories in this room. And hopefully can recreate some of those next year.
Must have been a hell of a party in here after the game then.
Yeah, definitely. Some tables here with some drinks on. And I remember having a photograph there with all the team and the trophy. So, yeah, definitely some great memories. And what will stick with me for life.
To be a cup winner, it must be a privilege today to draw the balls out in the draw as well.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, seeing it a few times on telly and all the excitement that goes along with that. Surprisingly nervous.
Knocking the balls on as well.
No, I didn't. I managed to keep them all. So, yeah, that's a bonus. That's a good start. But, no, a good experience and pretty honoured to be here and asked to do the draw.
It's already been highlighted. You started your rugby at Featherstone Lions, so they must be happy with the way their draw is this year.
Yeah, obviously, they'd have liked to be a home draw, but it's a great team to play against and a good experience for everyone involved.
For yourself, you're in pre-season, how's it going for the Rhinos?
Yeah, it's good. We're going through a tough time at the minute. Obviously, that's what pre-season's all about, so we're getting through it, but looking forward to starting the new season.
Achieved so much last year, how difficult is it going to be to repeat that success?
Well, that's the challenge ahead of us. Of course it can be done. We showed last year that it can be done. So that's down to us to try and emulate that and go on and do it again.
And how are you feeling at this moment? Are you feeling pretty relaxed and fresh?
Yeah, we've just had a break over Christmas. So everyone's feeling fresh and ready to go. And got a few more weeks of the tough training. But come February, I think we'll be ready to go and heading into the World Club Challenge as well.
Been asked this probably a few times already, but I'm going to ask it. Is it been a bit strange not having Messiah's Peacock and Sinfield and Lula in there alongside you?
Yeah, it's strange. It's a different feeling, but it's even stranger with Kevin because he's moved to the rugby union, but we're in the same training ground, so we see him daily. But obviously, he's sat with the other team, so that's a strange one. But it happens. Obviously, it's a team sport, and people move on, people come in, and it's up to us to fill that hole that they've left.
I just remembered you've lost your training ground due to flooding, so have you found it down in Stanningley?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a bit of fresh air, really, to get away from his training ground. Obviously, it's a long season, and to be there daily, it's a grind. So to be on the road, it's good, and like I say, we're all enjoying it.
Certainly are enjoying themselves, and I'm sure they enjoy themselves in America.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, but did I hear that right? Did you call them losing three Messiahs?
Listen, I'm in pre-season, man. It can't be perfect all the time.
I mean, to be honest,
rusty.
I know they're really important, and they have been really important to Leeds. And Kevin
important.
Sinfield, Jamie Peacock, and Kylie Lulai. But they're not Messiahs. They're just been very naughty boys.
Listen, they're in Leeds, and they're Messiahs.
Okay, I'll let you off on that one, eh?
It would be weird for them, though, wouldn't it?
It would be. I mean, to be fair, I was having a similar conversation at work, actually, the other day. And there's a massive, massive gap there that Leeds have to fill somehow. And I'm not sure whether they've got the personnel on board to do that. It'll all feel a little bit strange. I mean, Danny Maguire's going to be taking the captain's armband. Is that a good move? He certainly, I think, developed as a halfback over the last couple of years as Maguire, because he was always this ultimate finisher, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Throughout the earlier years of his career. But he has got that bit crafty as the years have gone on. You know, personally, I would have given it to Robbie Burrow. I think he's the type of guy that I'd want as my captain.
I mean, obviously, if you look at the fact that they've lost Sinfield, they can always bring him back, I suppose, if they get desperate.
Do you reckon that Leeds rugby union would have have that.
When the season finishes, I can see him coming back on a short-term loan.
Yeah, well, I can't, to be honest, because they've got young Sutcliffe coming through the ranks, haven't
they? They have, yeah.
Jordan Lilley as well, who went well in the friendly that they played.
All right, they maybe not bring Sinfield back, but if it doesn't work with the two youngsters you just mentioned, Leeds have got the cash to go and splash in Australia, if that's what they want to do.
I suppose so, yeah. I'm interested to see how their Australian signings go, actually. They've got Falloon, who's coming.
I mean, Cuthbertson was brilliant last year. Can he back it up?
I think he will do, yeah. But I'm interested to see how the hooker goes for Loon. I think that he could be a really big signing for them. They've also got Galloway as well, who's had a great career in the NRL, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he goes over here. And he qualifies for Scotland as well now. With
good news for Macca, isn't it?
Definitely good news. You know, so on an international front, we could be seeing the international game improved.
It kicks off with the World Club Challenge before as well, so I'm looking to see how that goes, and hopefully we might win one.
Is that all we're after? One? Just one?
Just one will do, thanks. We just want one win. Whitewash.
Just one win.
Or last year's Aussie wash.
It'd help if actually in the World Club Challenge full time, we actually grab a try, because I think St. Thomas got nil last year, didn't they?
He did, yeah.
So all we want is a try.
Come on, Leeds.
Come on,
Leeds.
Give
us a try. Or even Wigan.
Nah, they're not playing the main one, are they?
No.
It's Leeds in the main one.
All right, okay. You're just interested in the main one.
I'm interested in the main one. The other two don't really count for me.
They just cannon fodder.
Well, you never know. I won't be saying this if the English clubs win, by the way.
Without a doubt. Speaking of new club captains, you mentioned one at Leeds as well. It's been announced that Chris Hill's going to be the captain at Warrington this year.
Great appointment. So I'm surprised you didn't mention it before.
Captain Hill.
I'm surprised you didn't mention it before, because I know you've got a man crush.
Oh, you got the poster on there with Captain Hill. Lives forever.
He didn't have it. He didn't remove his skull cap and put on a crown instead, did he?
King Hill, yeah.
King That's Hill, yeah. No, great appointment. I think that he certainly has come on, and you know, ever since he walked through the doors at Warrington, he's been head and shoulders above everybody else. Not least because he's 6'3", but you know, he's a fantastic character to have around the place, and you know what you're going to get with him.
You said he walked through the door. I can imagine him running through the door, kicking it open, and say, "I'm here."
Yeah, Tony, give us the captaincy.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how Warrington progress under Captain Hill next year.
I certainly think with what I saw from Kurt Gidley in their earlier friendly against Widnes, there's a lot to look forward to. I'm going to stop short of saying it's going to be Warrington's year, though, because the club are already doing that with the videos that they're releasing.
All right, OK. You're not going to expand on that now?
Well, yeah. I mean, have you not seen a certain file-sharing website?
No.
No. I'll put it up for you after the show.
We can do that when we listen to Blake Solly.
We could.
Let's hear from him right now. Blake Solly, last year, what a tremendous season the Rugby League it was under the new format as well.
Yeah, it was. I think everyone agreed it was a great season, right from the time the ball kicked off in the Widnes-Wigan game to start the season through to England winning at Wigan against New Zealand. Every week seemed to have an exciting game or a talking point, which is what we want as a sport. It was great to see England winning at the end of the season. The sellout grand final was a brilliant evening, and it's nice to be back here at Wembley on the back of such a memorable Challenge Cup final. Some great sponsors, Ladbrokes First Utility. It was a great year for the sport.
And the new format seems to go better than we expected.
Yeah, I think obviously we did a lot of work on the format, and we were pretty confident that it would work. It was great to see it in action finally. I think we talked about it so long before the start of the 2015 season. I think in the main it did exactly what we wanted it to do, which was make every minute matter and make more games and more competitions matter right through to the end of the season. Obviously it's something that will always be looked at and reviewed, but it's a hell of a lot better than the systems that went before it.
So there's going to be no wholesale changes for next year, not reviewing it as yet?
No, I don't think so. I think after a season like that, it doesn't really need any wholesale changes. I know that things like the salary cap of the championship have been changed slightly, which I think is the right amount of change to make sure that the competitions continue to get better and better.
Looking at the format, I suppose the success story of the eights was Halifax being a part-time club taking on Super League clubs.
Yeah, I think that was the great thing about the format, that it wasn't just about 2015. that it provided an opportunity for ambitious, well-run championship clubs like Sheffield, like Halifax, like Lee, Bradford, to compete against Super League opposition. Now, Bradford and Lee obviously had their sights set on promotion, which is great. Halifax and Sheffield had their sights set on being competitive and being able to use that experience to be better prepared for 2016, which they will be. And that's great. You know, guys like Richard Marshall, Mark Aston deserve the credit for putting out great teams on fairly finite resources every week. And, you know, they were a fantastic advert for the Kingston Press Championships in that Super 8 phase.
Also, as well, kicking off the season, we've got the new-looking format for the World Club Challenge as well.
Yeah, I think the World Club Series was a real success in 2015, having tried for the better part of a decade to increase the amount of teams in it from one to three. We were very fortunate to have three great Australian clubs over in 2015 in South Sydney, St George Illawarra and Brisbane Broncos. It's even better this year that the teams have had to qualify to get here, so we've got the three best NRL clubs in the Sydney Roosters, Brisbane Broncos and North Queensland Cowboys, and our clubs can't wait to play them. We met with all of our clubs yesterday. Everyone is so excited about the series. Hopefully we'll have some more really positive announcements over the next couple of weeks about the series, which I think will show that we've got a genuine tournament on our hands that's capable of future growth.
Hopefully we'll get lift off with a couple of British wins in it rather than losing to the Aussies.
Yeah, I know Nigel said over the weekend, didn't he, we need to get a win, and I think we will. I think you know, Warrington were a shandy off beating St George Illawarra last year. The Brisbane Wigan game went into golden point. Obviously South Sydney at that stage of the year were just absolutely flying and were too good for St Helens, but I think we shouldn't get too downbeat about last year. We could have, you know, bounced the ball here, decision there, we would have had two wins and one loss. So I think our clubs can go in very confident that they can match the three NRL opposition.
It's going to be a great season in terms of rugby, but just to cap off what a great success rugby league was in 2015, seeing Kevin Sinfield going runner-up in their Sports Personality Award.
Yeah, I think that was another great example of how the rugby league community can mobilise really quickly, a bit like having just seen Lizzie do that draw then. When Danny passed away, the rugby league family gets into gear and supports very quickly. And I think in some ways Kevin was another example of that, where the rugby league family mobilised and voted for Kevin in numbers. And I think also with the way in which Leeds, Kevin, Callum Gillies and his team at the RFL conducted themselves in the 3 or 4 weeks beforehand, you know, that wonderful video with Paul Scholes and Kevin, that sort of stuff I think brought rugby league and Kevin to the attention of a wider audience, which also, you know, many of them would have voted for Kevin, because A, he's a genuinely great player, and B, he's a genuinely great guy, and if that's what Sports Personality is all about, he deserved to be in the top three.
Fingers crossed a lot of them people who don't go to rugby league who did vote might take a game in.
Yeah, I think that's it. We've got a really long, hard journey to get more and more people interested in rugby league, and I think 2015 was the start of that, and it was a great season. This year we've got another another opportunity with the Four Nations at the end of the year. We know that while Super League is a great competition, and we know that the Challenge Cup is a fantastic competition, that it is things like International Rugby League or the World Club Series that attract that new fan to the sport. Got a great World Club Series coming up in February and a great Four Nations at the end of the year, which hopefully will get more people switched on to rugby league and start them watching it on TV or going to games.
I'm excited, I can't wait.
Yeah, neither can I. It sort of comes around very quickly, doesn't it? But I think anyone who's a fan of the sport can't wait for the kickoff at the start of February.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
He's a smooth-talking guy, is Blake Solly, isn't he?
Yeah.
What a nice guy.
I think that you really enjoyed that chat, to be honest.
Let's highlight it. What a nice guy.
You really enjoyed that chat with him.
He's a nice guy.
You really enjoyed that chat with him.
He's a nice guy.
Stop it. You've got to be putting him next to your Chris Hill poster. Stop it.
He mentioned the fact everyone's getting excited for the kickoff of the season.
He sounded excited himself, didn't he?
I was getting excited even thinking about it. But before a ball's kicked, the Rugby League season kicks off in style with the Rugby League Rocks event comes back one more time. Last year it was at Manchester. This year it's in the rather grand buildings of the Royal Armouries in Leeds. It's a Saturday night on Saturday, January the 30th, and we've got the group We Are The Ocean headlining the event on the evening.
I've had all their songs.
Yeah, I know them all as well.
Yep.
Getting Down With The Kids, tracks like Ark, Holy Fire, Good For You.
Oh yeah, know that one.
You go and sing one.
Yeah, no, I've not got a. I've not got a voice for this.
Listen, if you want to go to the event, you want to hear him rather than hear Parky sing it, £10 a ticket, contact the RFL on the hotline ticket line, or you can go on the Rugby League website and get details from there.
Excellent.
And then it moves on to the actual games, and the first round of Super League kicking off on February the 4th. It's a Thursday night. It's Leeds versus Warrington. Then we move to Friday the 5th. It's Hull FC versus Salford. St Helens versus Huddersfield. Wigan versus Catalan Dragons. On the Sunday, it's Huckinson Rovers versus Castleford. And Wakefield versus Widnes.
What a way to start that season off, though.
Wow,
I mean,
bring it on, man.
Leeds Warrington, that's going to be one heck of a hit at the start, isn't it?
Certainly is. I just thought Hull FC and Salford lives up to the billing, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be honest,
I hope so.
Hull with the team that they've assembled this season and the players they brought in, I would be expecting them to get top four.
Because their game last year was awful.
The first game that they played.
Yeah.
Hmm. But I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing Widnes and seeing whether they can bounce back from Gary Schofield's prediction.
Make him eat humble pie in the first round, Widnes. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. And also, what was the other couple from the Sunday?
Huckinson Rovers, Castleford, Wakefield, and Widnes. Weren't you listening?
Yeah, sorry, I was elsewhere.
Oh, you're looking at the friendlies, yeah, right. Before all that starts, pre-season friendlies are still rolling on. That's where Parky still is thinking about. Where are they this weekend?
Yeah, well, this weekend on Sunday, you could watch Batley Bulldogs versus the Heavy Woolen Select. You could take in Barrow Raiders versus Workington Town, a Cumbrian derby there. You've got Doncaster taking on Hull FC. Featherstone Rovers, fresh from giving Wakefield Trinity Wildcats a game last week, they'll challenge the Salford Red Devils. Hull Kingston Rovers take on Huddersfield Giants, who were a bit miffed with the Giants last week because they saw the local rival friendly against Halifax called off, not by Halifax, by the local council, which was a bit of an odd situation, to
all
be
right,
honest.
Okay.
Yep. So I wonder what's going to happen with the Shay this season, if the local council is getting involved in postponing games or not. Lee Centurions host Wigan Warriors, that's another local derby. Rochdale Hornets take on Oldham, that's going to be the North Manchester derby then, isn't
yeah.
it? What a cracker.
Mm.
St Helens take on Dewsbury Rams. If I remember rightly, this game is part of the transfer that they paid last season for the lad that they've now loaned to Salford in Haggerty. Swinton Lions, they host Sheffield Eagles, and Widnes Vikings, of course, they're at home to Halifax, who they crashed the top four, didn't they,
in
the championship.
They impressed everybody in the qualifiers.
Did particularly well in the qualifiers. Yeah. I was really, really impressed with them, to be honest.
Can they back it up?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. For me, they're going to have to be looking at top four minimum this season.
Some tasty friendlies there, but the one that always catches my imagination, it brings that phrase, doesn't it? There's no such thing as a friendly in a derby, and that Rochdale and Oldham one's going to be a belter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had the pleasure for League Express a few years ago of covering a Rochdale and Oldham derby match. Jeez, there was no quarter given or taken.
And that's even on the terraces as well, never mind on the field.
Obviously, from a league point of view, I'm looking forward to Ranky Chase and company pulling on the jumpers for the first time against Wigan Warriors, who name seven of the team that took on Leeds in the grand final against the Centurions. They've got a host of young players looking to make the mark as well.
Wow, it's going to be an interesting season for Leeds, and they've got all those personalities. You've got the hunger ability of Derek Vermont. Pressure is on the shoulders of young Rowley next year, isn't it?
It could be. Yeah, it could be. I mean, you know, people looked at the way last season finished for the Centurions, and I think a lot of people around the club were disappointed with how it ended in the eights. Yeah, there's big questions to be asked and answered, I think, for Lee Centurions this season, but I don't know, I've got a sneaky suspicion that they're up to it, you know, Adrian. I think that, you know, the pre-season training camps that the club has put the players through, I think that that'll stand them in really good stead.
At this late stage of pre-season, clubs are still signing players as well, and Leeds have won the race to sign Brett Ferris from Huddersfield.
That's a cracking signing. I mean, if you're taking pure rugby ability,
yeah,
then Brett Ferris, for me, was one of the top three players for England in the Autumn Test Series.
He certainly was, wasn't he?
He's always been a player that's impressed me when he has played at, Huddersfield and Castleford before, and then even Wakefield before that. I do think that he's just the sort of hungry, mobile second rower which Leeds have been hunting, and he'll add a lot to that pack, considering that we've already talked about, the players that they've lost in Sinfield, Peacock and Kylie Lulai.
Bring it on, I say, can't wait.
Definitely, bring it on.
Before that, Rugby League Rocks, are you going to be there? I will.
I think I've got a date with Lee Miners, to be honest, in that Challenge Cup first round. I'll be there for loverugbyleague.com.